start having me a ball. Cause I got a good feeling and I don't feel no pain at all. Riding my day. My day to play.
Well, yeah, it's Friday. Oh my God. So other than the time you spent on this with this program this week, Truth Seeker, how was your week? I hope it was good. I hope it was great. I hope next one's going to be better. I hope you have a great weekend. Yadda, 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 yadda. Welcome to the Molloy Show. Glad you could make it. We are going to make a very strenuous attempt to entertain you over the next 2 hours and 54 minutes. Actually, you're going to provide most of the entertainment. I'm just here to moderate. Before we get too deeply into the muck tonight, we have finally reached the end of our Glastonbury Music Festival giveaway. We saw some pictures today from this year's Glastonbury Festival in England and or in the UK, and oh my goodness, it must have rained a lot. It was just there were some great pictures there of women mud wrestling. I know, but they put them up on the internet, and actually it was the Daily Mail website, I think. Our chief engineer sent me the link, and lots of pictures there. It's an enormous festival. If you've never been there, and I haven't, it covers quite a big area. But anyway, it is the longest-running outdoor music festival in the history of music festivals, and there is a two-disc DVD out. If you listen to the program regularly, you've heard me say this is the fifth time this week. I do apologize. But it's a highly acclaimed documentary about this festival from director Julian Temple, and there's footage in there from the last 30 years that is unique. I don't know where else you're going to see some of this footage. But anyway, the movie is just being released, and we have the DVD, and we've given away 16 of them so far this week. We're giving away four more in about 7 minutes. And the way it works, we will play a tune going out in the first break here. Kathy will play some music. All you need to do is identify the artist and the name of the tune. And immediately get on the blower and call Ian, 800-989-1480. Have the right answer, and you win. The first four people that come in with the right answers are winners. And then Ian or someone at the home office in Phoenix will send you the two-disc DVD Glastonbury. All right? You want to play? We'll play it for you in a couple of minutes. Oh, and please call in only if you have the correct answer. What the hell does that mean? How does one know whether or not one has the correct answer until one calls in and talks to Ian?
That was actually a poorly written comment on my part. What I mean is we're only going to take calls in this first segment related to the contest.
Oh.
Save your politically themed calls for later in the show.
Oh, there you go. I see. I just didn't read all of that into, and please call in only if you have the correct answer. We're going to talk about immigration tonight. This is an issue that we've not addressed on this program except very tangentially and usually just with a comment or two. I'll usually toss in something about, well, my grandparents on my mother's side came here from Italy around 1903 and blah, 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 blah. I came through Ellis Island and, you know, so on and so forth. But and they were illegal. They were illegal when they touched on American soil. The only thing that made them legal was the fact that they went through Ellis Island and were stamped WAP on their papers, which meant without papers. Did you know that? WAP. There were an awful lot of Italians that came through Ellis Island at the time, and we were undesirables because we were dark-skinned and talked funny. Northern Europeans were okay, but Southern Europeans, Jews from anywhere, but Italians, Turks, I realize they weren't Europeans, but you know what I'm saying, Greeks. They were the undesirables. They looked white, but not really. That's why when people ask me my racial makeup, I'll usually say predominantly white. Anyway, we're going to talk about that tonight, and I don't have a lot to say about it. I am curious as to what you folks feel about it. I have watched this issue kind of tear up the news wires and the newscasts. I know right-wing talk radio is just turned it into a blood sport, but that's what right-wing talk radio does. 91% of talk radio, I believe, is the figure being batted around out there now. 91% of talk radio is neo-fascist, which means it's run by people like Hannity or Michael Savage, who should know better since he's Jewish, and the pigs like Rush Limbaugh. So that leaves about, 9% of talk radio that is not right-wing, misogynistic, horrifying, anti-immigrant, whatever you want to say. But I wonder what you folks think of the issue. Now, here in Georgia, matter of fact, it's in today's New York Times. Here in Georgia, we have a senator named Johnny Isaacson, who came to be a senator by default. He was the one that I think was appointed when Zell Miller left, and then he got elected on his own, I guess, or maybe hasn't even been elected yet. I don't know. I don't follow right-wing politics here in Georgia that much. But Johnny Isaacson has put something in the Senate immigration bill, and the Times calls it a squalid little amendment. And it benefits an Atlanta-based corporate constituent of Johnny's, Home Depot. Home Depot is rapidly, for me, becoming one of those companies like Walmart that I'm afraid if I go into one, I'm going to get the chilblains or worse. But this amendment that Senator Johnny Isaacson here in Georgia has stuck into the immigration bill would prohibit state and local laws that require big home improvement stores like, Home Depot to provide rudimentary shelter for day laborers. That's right. So remember, Republicans believe in local control. Republicans don't believe in big government. Republicans believe you decide at the state or the local level. That's bull. Republicans, especially this gang, believes in utter, absolute, centralized control like the Soviet Union. So here it is. Johnny Isaacson says, look, there aren't any laws yet on the books. There aren't any. But see, here's the catch. In L.A., the city council there is considering one. Home Depot wants to open 13 stores in L.A. So what's Johnny Isaacson, a senator from Georgia, got to do with L.A.? Well, because of Home Depot, who is a great big contributor to Johnny Isaac's whoredom. Nothing against sex workers. Home Depot, we all know this, is a magnet for day laborers. Anytime you go there, whether you're a small contractor, you're a homeowner, you go, you buy lumber, you buy screws, you buy hammers, you buy plants, and then you grab a crew. There's all kinds of people. I don't know what it's like in your neighborhood, but in the Home Depots here in the Atlanta area, there's all sorts of folks standing out there. I don't know if they're legal, quote-quote, or illegal, quote-quote. They're just people looking for work. And they stand there and they wait. So that if somebody comes by, a small subcontractor, and needs someone to put up drywall and doesn't have anybody, you know, those jobs Americans won't take, here's a whole crew. Just wait. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. See, you know, whatever language they speak. So what Johnny Isaacson what Johnny Isaacson wants to do is put a bill in here that nullifies or negates any effort by the LA City Council and by extension the rest of the country that these big box home improvement stores have got to set up rudimentary shelter out front. You know, a john, a place to sit down, and a roof over the top. Now, before everybody says, well, they don't have to do anything like that. Well, of course they do. Any big corporation has to follow zoning laws, has to meet certain requirements, can't build in a floodplain. If they're causing environmental destruction or damage, they have to account for it. They have to own up to it. There's all sorts of rules on the books. But you see, it gets lost in this scream fest about immigrants. So there's Johnny Isaacson with the Home Depot amendment. Specifically for Home Depot and, Lowe's? Oops, there's the music. Let me take a break from my scream fest here for just a moment. I'll pick it up on the other side. Name this tune and the artist and immediately call in 800-989-1480. And do we have something for you, Bubala? Go! In the darkness of insanity, I ask myself.
those who enter the country illegally violate the law.
Twenty-one past the hour. So, yeah, Johnny Isaacson, our junior senator from here in, the other one is Saxby Chambliss from here in Georgia, has the Home Depot amendment that he has stuck into the Senate immigration bill, which would prohibit cities or states or counties or townships from passing an ordinance that says these big box home improvement stores must provide rudimentary shelter, maybe a john out front where these guys can relieve themselves while they're waiting to get picked up. A little overhead shelter to keep the wind and, or the rain and the snow up. No. What would that cost a great big old company like Home Depot to just act like a decent corporate citizen? But I contradict myself. I'm sorry. What would it cost? Huh? To provide a bare-bones space with shade, benches, and a toilet. Some estimates say about $200,000 per store. Whoa, Malloy, $200 to $200,000 per store. Oh, my God. Why should they have to do it? Because just like stores have to obtain conditional use permits, operate at certain hours, install lights and signs to mitigate traffic and other problems they cause, Home Depot would have to help make its stores safer and less unsightly. Now, how many times when you pull into a Home Depot, you know what I'm talking about, or a Lowe's or wherever it is, you pull in and you see the guy standing out in front. Can you guess how many are legal immigrants, how many are native-born, and how many are illegal? You can't. Well, golly, we ought to give away a double-disc DVD if you can do that. But nobody can they? So Johnny Isaacs... filthy, Isaacson's filthy, racist little law here, little amendment that he wants to insert into the immigration bill kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? Johnny Isaacson, you're a pig. You're a Republican pig. Oops, I'm getting redundant again. It's just unbelievable what these people do, isn't it?
Could be worse. If Zell Miller was still in the Senate, he would insert some sort of amendment that you could shoot them and eat them as meat.
Probably. Oh, God. All right. Let's, I think we have all of our winners. Let's talk with one of them, Joey, who is calling from Sacramento. It listens on 1240 AM in Sacramento. Hey, Joey.
Hey, Mike.
What's the artist in the song?
It was What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding by Elvis Costello.
Boy, you got that right. Way to go. Good for you, Joy. I hope you enjoy this. Are you familiar with Glastonbury?
No, I'm not, actually. Looking forward to it, though.
Okay, I think you're going to like it. If you go online to dailymail.com, a British newspaper, there's some pictures there from this year's festival, which I think just occurred in the past couple of days, wasn't it, Kathy? I think it just happened, so check it out. But anyway, thanks, Joy. Thanks for participating, and I hope you enjoyed, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Good work.
Thank you, sir. Take care. And I want to thank Erica back at the home office for sending all these out. Bless her heart. All right. Let's see who else won tonight. We have Andrew, who won in San Diego. Of course, Joey in Sacramento. Tim in Sacramento, and Walt in Spotswood, New Jersey. So congratulations to all four of our winners. I hope you enjoy them. Now, I would like to hear what you all have to say. I very seldom do this. You know, I usually come on here and start screaming and frothing at the mouth and... our callers never get a chance. People say, well, I'd like to participate in Malloy's program, but he won't let me. All right, so we're going to do it tonight. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. However, the only catch tonight, I'd like you to, for the time being here, I want to get your opinion, seriously, about the immigration situation The Republicans, the Republican, see, I can't say it. I can't say Republican leadership. I can't say that. I can't put those two words together. Oh my God. I'm sitting here going, you know, the Republican, I can't say it. So how do I say that? The leaders of the Republican, but there we go. Whew. The leaders of the Republican Party, all the way up to the scum sucker in chief, George W. Bush, have turned this into an issue. Of course they have. Of course they have. And then you have, if I've been reading the blogs and the newspapers and the articles and the columnists correctly, this kind of cuts across politically ideological lines in this country. There are a lot of liberals, a lot of conservatives, who don't like this whole idea. I frankly am kind of lost in it, you know, like lost in space. So, let's hear what you got to say. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio.
It is wrong for the Congress to discriminate against Mexican trucks.
The time for weeping.
Oh, God. All right, just one last thing before we take your phone calls here. A friend has asked me to mention this. Do you all go to truthout.org? I use that as a resource constantly, and I contribute as often as I can. Truthout is, and Mark Ash, who runs Truthout, they're having a fundraiser right now. They have to do this constantly because, you know, it's a predominantly liberal or progressive site where you can go and get information for days. They link you to stories. They also have their own writers, their own people. They need some help, as this summer fundraiser is not going right. So, or going well, I should say. Well, it's not going right either. So go to truthout.org. And you know, throw them $5. We're not talking about a big deal here, okay? We're not talking about a big deal here. So truthout.org, they need some help. And I think we will do it when the program's over tonight. We will make our standard contribution that we usually make twice a year. So, excuse me, truthout.org. They need some donations. Isn't that the truth with all of us on the left, huh? I know you could use a donation to pay your mortgage payment. I understand. So could I. I got you covered. Not actually. Nova M pays me a living wage. I have no moaning about that. I'm certainly not up in the Ed Schultz atmosphere, but or Randy Rhodes. But anyway. Truthout.org. If the spirit moves you, go anything. $5, $10. Or some of you rich liberals, send them $5,000. Rich liberals don't do that. All right, what we're going to talk about here is immigration, the issue. I just want to hear what y'all have to say. I don't mean I want to. I mean the audience wants to hear what you folks have to say. Pro or con? So talk to us. The phone number again is 800-989-1480. Let's start with John in Santa Monica, who's listening via the internet. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And yourself?
Good, good.
America doesn't have an illegal immigrant problem.
We don't?
Not at all.
What do we have?
We have an illegal employer problem. And if you take it back to the roots, before America was a country, this country was built on cheap labor. You might remember something called slavery.
Oh, yeah.
And all through the Industrial Revolution, there was plenty of European and Oriental immigrants welcome to the country to fill it up and work for slave wages.
That's true.
Canada has an industrialized economy. Try and get a job there. You can't unless you have specific skills that they need, and they are actually encouraging people. They are recruiting people because they are underpopulated. Basically, I am kind of enjoying the fight within the Republican Party between the racist wing and the corporatist wing.
Yeah, that is kind of amusing to watch. I have to admit that, yeah.
And the reality is, I don't want to put the person who has a housekeeper or a gardener in jail. But if there was draconian, real serious, maybe go to jail penalties for the big corporations who hire the vast majority of undocumented workers, they wouldn't hire them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go home. And not only that, the Mexico and Latin America, where most of these workers are coming from, would get their own acts together if they had to. You see, we're a safety valve for the poorest of the poor in Mexico and Central America.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, your point of view on it is, John, is to me it sounds like fairly humane and to the point. So thanks a lot for checking in. I appreciate what you had to say. Take care, John. Jason is listening on the Quake 960 AM out of San Francisco. Jason, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. I was just going to pretty much say what the previous caller said was, in addition to sanctioning employers, I mean, I think we have to do something about the root of the problem. I mean, we do have an immigration problem. And from my take, it's an environmental issue. I mean, we're just getting crushed. I mean, out here in California, the population of the state has doubled in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of that is due to immigration, you know, and part of it's people moving from, you know, colder climes out to the West Coast for the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't go on. I mean, our land is limited. Our water is limited. Resources are limited. We've got to do something about what...
All right, let me interrupt, Jason. Is that an immigration problem, or is that a problem of proper planning, development planning, and restrictions on how many, you know, folks can move in, whether they're immigrants or from New York?
Well, yeah, that's certainly part of it, and I certainly wouldn't single out immigrants in that, but I guess it's just there's so much population pressure to just continue developing and building and building and cities expanding and moving out of the fringes. It just never ends. And down in, the source country, just, I mean, out here it's predominantly Latin America. I mean, you have it's just economic problems that just leave people with no choice whatsoever except to come north. And I don't blame them, but as that guy said before me, I mean, we're just the pressure relief valve for the oligarchies in Latin America that depend on us to just take their poor, unwashed masses by the thousands or the millions, because they don't have the willpower or the motivation to do anything about the socioeconomic problems that just lead to, having no viable middle class, no opportunities down there. You have 1% of the populace, I mean, billionaires that just own everything in Latin America, and the other 99% of the people have no hope whatsoever except to come here.
So what I'm hearing from you then is you appreciate the fact that this immigration problem exists, and you seem to be coming at it from a pretty humane point of view, but I think the subtext of what you're saying is it's got to stop. What kind of stop mechanism would you like to see put in place?
Well, I don't have an answer to that. I don't think it should stop, but I think we need to do something instead of spending, $11-12 million an hour over in the Middle East. If we took those same resources and helped the Latin American countries develop their economies so that they were viable and thriving and the middle class could exist and people had opportunities there. I mean, we don't get millions of people swarming in from Canada. I mean, what's the difference here? It's because the conditions in Latin America are such that people don't have a choice. And it's in our interest to work with the governments and social service agencies and whatnot.
Okay, so the immigrants are the wrong target if we want to do something, entirely the wrong target.
I think they're the wrong target.
I hear you. All right, well, that makes sense. All right, Jason, thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. All right, take care of what you had to say. Take care. My feeling about the immigration problem, I hear what Jason was talking about the pressure. How much population can some of these metro areas handle with the demand for services? And I'm not talking about welfare services. I'm just talking about water and sewage and schools and hospitals and emergency rooms and so on and so forth. I think it's a valid concern. I start from the position, I don't know where I'm at on this. I start from the position that if we are not going to welcome immigrants, and before you say, but Malloy, don't forget the first word there, illegal. All right, we'll get to that. If we're not going to welcome immigrants, let's send the Statue of Liberty back to the French. You know, it says what Emma Goldman said. It's on there. Send us your tired, you're sick, you're homeless. I mean, they didn't say send us your entrepreneurs, didn't say send us your wealthy. And the fact is, maybe it is time to get rid of some of this crap. Bush and his cronies want to get rid of the Constitution, habeas corpus. You're guilty until you're proven innocent now. And you don't have a chance to prove your innocence if you fall into a certain category of suspect. So maybe it is time, and I'm not trying to be a smart ass here, maybe it's time to send the Statue of Liberty back. Or at least change the inscription on the bottom of it. Let it go. Stop it. This is not the 19th century. This is the 21st. So maybe it's time to quit. But when I think about the detention centers, when I think about what is going on, I said a couple of years ago when this immigration thing was first starting to take off, if the argument back then was it's taking American jobs, their jobs are here, this is America, okay. But if you want to stop it, like both our callers think said so far, crack down on the employer and then start paying a living wage. Pay $14 an hour. Pay $14 an hour for someone to come and put drywall up in your house. You know, have a contractor do that. Is it going to jack up the price of your house? House repair? Maybe so. What's it going to do, though, about native-born or people who are here legally about having a job? You see what I'm saying? No, I don't either.
Gana dinero, Jorge Bush, gana dinero. Gana dinero, Jorge Bush, gana dinero.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
Ten before the hour, a couple of quick emails here on the topic. This is from Libby regarding immigration. Libby writes, if we were to abrogate NAFTA, Mexican farmers might be able to go back to farming in their own country. We flooded them with cheap American corporate food and made it impossible for them to make a living or even do subsistence farming anymore. Yeah, that's a good point. Indeed. This is from Michael in Minnesota. Mike, I share your ambivalence on the immigration issue. After all, what other problem unites mainstream Democrats like Ted Kennedy and Hillary Clinton in the Chamber of Commerce? What do I mean by that? Well, the latest immigration bill that Congress sent to President Dumbass's desk had support from the traditional Democrats and pro-business Republicans, but for very different reasons. I think as progressives, we need to be careful to voice our concern over immigration. You and I know that the immigration problem is not really an immigration problem per se. It is a labor quality of life problem. Believe me, I am all for immigration, but I think all immigrants should be paid a living wage, no matter if they are here legally or not. Otherwise, illegal immigration has the effect of lowering wages for everybody else who needs an entry-level job. That's why the chamber supports immigration, because it's a great source of cheap labor. Believe me, if immigrants were given a decent living wage, the chamber would be on the same side as the rest of the racist Republican Party, which is, get them out of here. They lower our property values, and so forth. I find the stands to be obscene and, quite frankly, immoral. At any rate, immigration is great for this country, but how about some fair labor standards, too? From Mike in Minnesota, back to your comments on this. Let me see here. Let's. All right, Sonny. Sonny is calling from Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Hey, Sonny.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. Are you there?
Yep, I'm there.
Okay.
The emailer had some really good points, and those were the points that I was going to touch on. But I think that the big capitalist agribusiness that's, you know, fluctuating into, you know, Latin America, I think is causing a lot of the uptick in the, what you would call, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. illegal immigration. And I think that the ruling classes in Mexico are getting extremely greedy under CAFTA. They created, like, a huge, huge proletariat peasant class. And so people are just grasping for straws, just trying to make a living, just trying to live life. Mm-hmm. And so they see all that propaganda TV about how, you know, the United States, everybody up here is rich, you know, and everything's fine up here, until they get up here and they find out that they're going to be no better off than they were back home. And, you know, they're not going to have any health care. They're going to be treated basically like crap. They're going to work for 50 cents an hour. They're going to be, you know, harassed by fascists and brown shirts on the street. And
it wasn't really
a problem until, you know, the May 1st May Day movement. I think it scared the hell the right wing in this country when they've seen the political might that that's starting to form behind, you know, the our friends coming from the southern border. So that's what I...
Well, Sonny, let me ask you, what do you think, how do you think this should be addressed, the issue of so-called illegal immigration or undocumented workers? How should this be addressed? What's an answer here?
Well, from a progressive point of view, I think we should be really happy that this is happening, because politically, I think they're going to break 3-1 Democrat, you know.
All right, but wait. It's not really about us. It's about the immigrant labor.
Right.
So what do you think? You know, you just laid out what some of these people face. They're being exploited in this country, which has, as the emailer pointed out, has the net effect of driving wages down. What should be done to mitigate or eliminate what is becoming rapidly, apparently, a very serious problem? Exploited labor on the one hand, exploiting corporate America and not so corporate America on the other, and in the middle we have politicians screaming at each other. What's the solution?
I think the solution would be to rally and organize, you know, the immigrant labor into, you know, a vast movement politically. Number one. And I'm not talking about, you know, pro-capitalist political parties. I'm talking about more of your left-wing, you know, socialist-leaning parties, which they would gravitate to anyways. I think that would be part of the answer, give them a political voice. I think that I don't think there's any quick fix answer to any of this stuff.
Sonny, thank you. And call again. I appreciate your call. Thanks a lot for checking in. I think it's the first call or second call we've ever gotten from Sault Ste. Marie, which is further north in Michigan than 30% of Canada. It's way up there. Beautiful, beautiful part of the United States. But I digress. I find myself kind of disagreeing, though, with what Sonny said. Long term, sure. I think immigrants, legal and illegal, have shown their political power, or at least their people power, in the demonstrations that have occurred in this country in the past 10, 12 months. But as far as political power, to use it how? If they are unable to vote, they can't get representatives elected. whether they're Latino or non-Latino, is kind of beside the point. How do you organize people who have no standing within the society? Poor people who are citizens of this country who want to organize into resistance to corporate everything. That makes sense. But how do undocumented people who are subject to instant deportation or worse, jailing, what happens when the local constabulary or the lawmakers finally reach a point where they get pissed off and just say, lock them up? You see, so big trouble, big problem. And we'll continue the discussion right after this break. So stick around. I want to hear what you got to say. The number here is 800-989-1480. We're talking about immigration tonight. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. We're talking about the immigration issue this evening in a format that I don't usually get involved in, and that is bring up a topic and say, what do you think? But I just have a feeling I should, because it's an issue we have not talked about on this program at all, except in maybe passing reference to what appear to be the nutcases that are deciding how loud the debate or the screening match is going to be in this country around this issue. 7, 8, 9 months ago when this first got my attention, all I saw were a bunch of people running around the southern borders with guns, talking about militias. And interestingly, they're all white. Most of them are burr cut. Most of them have guts on them. And I kept thinking, well, wait a minute, I've seen these guys before. Weren't they around during the Clinton years talking about how Bill Clinton was going to come out and take all their guns or some such horse hockey? So, you know, maybe it's been the wrong image out there of anti-immigrant people. I would imagine there are some people who, and I should say anti-illegal immigrant. Without the modifier there, it's kind of weird. Although, maybe not. Maybe that's just a red herring. Maybe it's just white people in this country are really starting to feel threatened. Imagine how Americans, our darker brothers and sisters who happen to have a little bit of African blood in them, imagine how they feel, right? Because they are no longer so-called African Americans, and I hate that term, so-called African, it doesn't mean anything. I'm going to get off on a tangent here, I got to be careful. So-called African Americans are no longer the number one minority in this country. If we're going to, you know, classify people like that. And again, I hate the term African American. What the hell does that mean? Does that mean a Ugandan American? Does that mean a Liberian American? Does it mean an Egyptian American? I had a lady one time that said, well, Mike, you know, Egyptians are okay, but they're African, dear. They're Egyptian. You see what I mean? I mean, why get into it? I hate the term African American. If African Americans like it, fine, like it. I hate it. But I digress. All I've seen are white people who are talking about, without coming out and saying it, but what they want to say are the dirty Mexicans. You dirty, filthy, rotten, stinky Mexicans coming up here and taking over our emergency rooms and using our social services. What social services? Social services in this country have been cut to the bone by the Bush crime family for American citizens. Good God, they won't even allow a cigarette tax to pay for children in the various states to run the CHIPS program, the Children's Health Care Program. So my attitude about it is, I don't know. I don't know what to do. All I know is I see a bunch of obvious racist, militant right-wingers running around with guns again. I'm thinking, what the hell? Don't you people ever, ever figure out a different way to do things and have your little drills and jump in your pickup trucks and go rushing down south of Tucson or rushing over, oh, we're going to build a fence. By God, I'll volunteer to go down there and shoot them sons of bitches. That's all I hear. And then I hear the Republicans coming up with an idea. Okay, well, we're going to, and who used the word amnesty? What is amnesty? What does that mean? All I hear is nonsense. Then I see Bush. Anything Bush backs, I am just automatically against. If Bush backed daylight, I would demand solid darkness. Because I know he's got some kind of an ulterior motive. So then I see Bush talk. I know Bush doesn't give a damn as far as compassion for people. It's our economic policies who have destabilized these other countries, especially our little brown, dusky brethren south of the border. That's what we've been doing for 150 years. Yawn! So what else is new? But all of a sudden, you see it's an issue. How many are here? Nobody knows. I remember the last time we had an amnesty was back in, what, 86, 87? Let's see, who was president then? Oh, that's right. Sleeping Beauty was president then, wasn't he? Ronald Reagan. So here we are. Maybe there are really, really, really decent people who are anti-flooding illegal immigrants. I'll use their terminology. But I don't see them. I don't see PTA types. I don't see civic organizations. I don't see people saying, listen, why don't we sit down and discuss this? What I see are exploiting Republicans who obviously want in cheap labor. Of course they do. You know, look what the Democrats just got through Congress on the back of a war spending bill, an increase in the minimum wage. Oh, we can't have that. It'll bankrupt the country. The country has been going to hell since the minimum wage went up from $1.10. Haven't you noticed? I mean, that's what the bankers and the, on quotes around the word bankers, nothing against bankers. That's what the Chamber of Commerce types. That's what the corporate thugs say. Look what has happened in the meat processing industry. I know you don't eat meat, but look what has happened in the meat processing industry. Used to be one of the most heavily unionized, well-paying industries in North America. What has happened to it? Down the pipes. Who's in the meat industry now? Undocumented workers. And why are they there? Because Tyson Foods and the rest of these people, I can't even think of their names, the big beef slaughterhouses and meat packing companies in the Midwest and here in the South can get away with it. There is no more union representation for so many of these workers. They went on strike for a better deal, and the company hired scabs. Who are the scabs? People with names like Jose and Maria. So, I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. I just know that there seem to be two, like the first caller said, the two branches of the Republican Party. The racist, piss-anty thugs who want this country to be what God intended to be. A nice place for white folks. You have them on the one hand. On the other hand, you've got the corporate shills who would love to see the minimum wage disappear. Minimum wage, my ass. There shouldn't be a minimum wage. Let the free market decide. If somebody wants to work for 3 cents an hour, let them. You know, that sort of madness. So where does that put the rest of us? I'm confused. From Andre, Mike, as per the last two callers, I think the problem is the pressure that the European and American institutions like the WTO and IMF are putting on Latin America and India and all over the place to privatize their economies or else, which is creating or maintaining since the 40s and 50s, polarized banana republics. From Alice, we need a shift in perception here. The immigration issue is not a diversion, or is just a diversion from the real issue, class warfare. The elite in Washington do not see any difference between the U.S. rabble and the immigrant rabble, but it is in their best interest to keep us at each other's throats. Divide and conquer. We need to come together with our immigrant brothers and sisters and go after our common enemy, the elite that would sacrifice every last one of us for their profit. And this is from Mental Vault. Okay. Immigration is a losing issue for Democrats. The subject line says, wake up, Mike. Okay.
Oh, hi. What time is it? Huh.
Immigration is a losing issue for Democrats, he writes, or she writes. In private conversations, I don't know any Democrat that is for letting this many in at this rate to make the middle class as poor as Mexico. At the polls, it will be a big surprise for those that think Democrats are stupid. Hell, let millions flood in, 20 to 30 million. In fact, many say it's higher. That's just before the border comes down, which is the plan. Mike? I don't get your punctuation here, Mental Vault. I'm trying to read it with the punctuation, but Mike, what? You got Mike with two question marks. What? All right, your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had.
Past the hour, one more email and back to your call. Suzanne in L.A. writes, Mike, I've been teaching in the L.A. area since 1987, can attest to the hardships of Mexican, Guatemalan, El Salvadoran, and Honduran families. Very often, only part of the family, the best breadwinner, make their way El Norte and live in a hard scrabble existence because they send so much of their income back home. Excuse me. Christmas vacation is often extended to 4 to 6 weeks so the whole families can reunite for a time. I totally agree with the caller from California that we have to go to the root of the problem, which is assisting those economies south of the border. I don't even have a problem with employers hiring undocumented workers. Heck, if there's work available and people to fill the jobs, what's the problem? This so-called doing the work Americans won't do is a total crock. There are plenty of jobs for everybody. Back to your phone calls. excuse me. Will is calling from Michigan. Hey, Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I got a little anecdote to share with you. I had to call the hotel I booked down in Decatur, Georgia the other day because we had a change in our itinerary. We're going to arrive a little later than we thought we were. And I call them up and I get a person that can barely speak English, let alone understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether this person is a legal immigrant or an illegal immigrant.
Well, are you sure the person you were talking to was in Decatur, Georgia, USA?
Yeah, I was calling the actual hotel that we booked.
Well, but that doesn't necessarily mean your call goes there. It may go to a call center in the North Mariana Islands or.
Oh, the 404 area code.
Right, but call switching is very simple. I dial a 404 area code here when I have a complaint with the cable company, and I get somebody in Bangalore, India.
Right.
So it may not have been here. But anyway, the real reason you called.
Anyway, I the what it boils down to is cheap labor, and whether it's outsourcing or hiring undocumented immigrants is wrong. I mean, people need to be paid a living wage. And, a living wage in Bangalore, India, may be $2 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's a whole different story. I mean, we've got a bigger inflation, higher inflation rate to worry about here. And, we've got
all right. So what's your bottom line here, Will, on undocumented workers? What should be done?
I think we should go after the employers.
The employers.
Yep.
Okay. And what about what happens to the workers then? They stay in their countries.
Well, when they need to if they need jobs in their own country, they need to work within their own country's political system to improve mm-hmm. the standards of living.
I agree with that, but is that still possible? Since a country's political system in these times usually doesn't dictate what the country's economic system is going to be. That is, or at least it's colored by the economic system, by the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank. So you wind up, you may have a look at Cesar Chavez, Hugo Chavez as a quick example in Venezuela, trying desperately to stabilize his country and put in place social democratic ideas, which I tend to agree with for the most part, and yet all that needs to be done to destabilize him is to tweak interest rates. Now, not necessarily Chavez, because Venezuela has all that oil, so they're not a heavily indebted nation.
Right.
But any nation that is, for example, any nation that is heavily indebted, if that nation wants to institute, for example, a public health or land reform, a decision can be made in Beijing or Zurich or New York or Lisbon that totally denies them the right to do that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The World Bank can say to a population in a country in Africa, you will open up your oil to international oil companies, or, in essence, we will send your economy into hell. So,
if you look at Cuba, when the Soviet regime collapsed, they were getting most of their oil from Russia. And when the Soviet regime collapsed, their oil was cut off, and now
they get it from Venezuela.
Get it from Venezuela, but they're also burning a lot of biofuels now.
That's true. All right, Will, I've got to leave it there. Listen, I appreciate what you had to say. We'll talk again. Take care. Quick break here, folks. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Working for something that I can't touch, and sometimes can't even believe in. By the hands of faith, the faith that sometimes wraps around too tight.
It's about 25 before the hour. A couple of quick emails and back to your calls here. This is from W. The subject line says, the rednecks in the pickups chasing immigrants at the southern border are showing how tough they are. Short of a real man's tet. Wait a minute. Oh, okay. The rednecks in the pickups chasing immigrants at the southern border are showing how tough they are, short of a real man's test of bravery, such as, for instance, volunteering for Iraq, where the targets of their hostility would shoot back at them. Ooh, that's way too scary. Same as why we bully North Korea and threaten to nuke them, but don't threaten to nuke Russia. Okay, and then this one. Mike, I live in Southern California. Although I'm white, I also was relatively fluent in Spanish by fourth grade because I lived in a mixed working-class neighborhood and went to school with probably half Anglo, half Mexican. We also had migrants who came through, attended school briefly, then moved on. I studied immigration law 25 years ago, and we had a pretty fair system in place. It is the global corporate system that is encouraging free-flowing, poor labor into the U.S., jobs out of the U.S., to drive down the standard of living of Americans. There's nothing wrong with our immigration system except that the politicians have declined to enforce it. How do you deal with 12 million illegal immigrants? Deport the ones who come to official attention and assess significant financial penalties on any business that hires workers without papers. Do you wonder why both Republicans and Democrats now have the mantra, you can't deport 12 million people? Oh, really? How many millions of people can we imprison for lengthy terms because they have a little bit of drugs in them? Of course we can deport people. Yet the politicians of both parties have created the big lie that the only solution is to declare all 12 million legal and for the Democrats allow them to bring in 3 to 4 people each as family members, which means an additional 50 to 60 million workers searching for work, overusing social systems like police, fire, schools, hospitals, and driving down wages. Progressives need to stop using a Hallmark card analysis of political issues. Oh, the poor people is not a good start to an analysis of an economic problem. Yes, the people in Mexico are poor, and any progressive that wants to help them should do so. In Mexico, bringing all the poor people in the world to the U.S. will not solve the problems of poverty. We need a reasonable system for immigration, which we already have, but which has not been enforced. We also need asylum available for people fleeing persecution. Yes, the U.S. does owe it to the world to accept a certain number of immigrants, including economic and political refugees. But when the major Democrats and Republicans and corporate rulers all get together and want to create open borders, you can be sure it is designed to hurt the rest of us, like Bill Gates and Microsoft. By the way, the major provision of the proposed change is to allow 800,000 so-called guest workers every year, not agricultural workers, but engineers, CPAs, doctors, soon teachers. Bill Gates hired Ralph Reed to get this change in the law so he can import all his workers from India and pay them one-third what he would pay an American. We should do the following. One, first, pass and enforce significant fines on employers who hire undocumented workers. Two, deport anyone here illegally who comes to the attention of the INS. 3. Build real security along the border. 4. Set up an amnesty system for people who have been here for a while, are working, have stayed out of trouble. And 5. Deport everyone from every prison and jail who has committed any crime whatsoever. What? I'm not a crazy white bigot. I have friends who have worked for decades in manufacturing and are now out of work, uninsured, unable to find comparable replacement work, and are terrified. The same for friends in construction. I'm on their side first, as should be our politicians. Okay. Back to your phone calls. Pat is calling from Chicago, listening on WCPT in Chicago. Hey, Pat.
Mike, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. I've worked for a public utility here in Chicago for the last 30 years. Which means I've been able to visit, I don't know, thousands of job sites throughout my career. And the one thing I have noticed over the last several years is, while true, there are many Mexican immigrants working on these job sites, even more so, and it's never reported, is that there are many more, in my opinion, or at least as many Polish immigrants in this town. And they work at these job sites and I'm 95% sure most of them are illegal, and it's never raised. The issue's never raised, and why is that? Because they blend. They have blonde hair. They have blue eyes. So there is a racist element to this.
That brings up a very good point, Pat, and that is we just had some extensive work done on our house, siding and some construction work and so on and so forth. And we had crew chiefs who could speak passable English. A couple of them were Anglo, could speak as fluent English as you and I. But the workers, surprise, surprise, were not Mexican. Some of them were Brazilian. A couple were Russian. There were Hondurans. And with the exception of the crew chiefs, nobody spoke English, not even the ones who looked white, if you know what I mean.
That's right. Yeah,
I have friends in New York who are here illegally from Ireland and have been here for a couple, 3 years. But because, as you point out, because they blend in, that's why this whole thing just irritates the hell out of me sometimes. You know, we don't seem to go after white people.
No, we don't.
If we are and I don't know about it, okay, fair enough. But we don't seem to go after white people. We seem to go after people of color. If they're slightly colored or deeply colored or I don't know. That's the part that irritates the hell out of me sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you're saying, right?
And the last 30 years, what I've noticed is that these job sites, new construction job sites, they used to have a few black workers, not nearly as many as they should have had, but at least there were some. Now, non-existent, none whatsoever. And that's turning into a crisis, at least in this town. I also work in black neighborhoods, and chronic unemployment, it's really bad. And I just can't help but feel that black Americans are being deprived of these decent job opportunities. They're being replaced by illegal immigrants from white ethnic countries. But these white ethnics blend. It's just fundamentally unfair, and it's outrageous, and it's really hurting this country, and I don't know what the solution is.
So I get the impression you think that a lot of this issue is bogus, that it's just, once again, it's playing people against people in this country. That's the feeling I get anyway.
Yes, it is, and I watch Lou Dobbs periodically, and I like a lot of what he says, but he never does bring up the white ethnic side of the issue. He never brings up how many hundreds of thousands of illegal, as he calls them, aliens, there are living here and working here in Europe. It's always the pounding on Mexican immigrants here. And okay, maybe some of that's warranted, but come on, Lou.
Really?
There's immigration, illegal immigration coming from Europe as well, and that needs to be at least scrutinized. And he doesn't do it.
Yeah, and I think we're pretty safe in saying it's not going to be scrutinized, because if for no other reason, aside from the fact of the kind of inherent racism that every white person in this country over a certain age has to deal with one way or the other. And nobody can argue that point with me. If you're over a certain age, you are going to deal with deep-seated racism if you're white because you grew up in this country. And how folks deal with that is, I think, a matter of choice and education. And you don't have a racist attitude against Poles or Russians or even dark-skinned Italians or Corsican French. It's just not there. The real heavy-duty attitude is against people who look Indian, who look Mexican, who look dark-skinned. And I don't know how people can avoid that issue, just like you're saying. Lou Dobbs does a great job of avoiding the issue. He never talks about illegal Slovakians. He never talks about illegal Serbs. He talks about illegal people from south of the border with Mexico.
That's exactly right.
It just bugs the hell out of me. I swear it does. Pat, thanks for checking in. I hope you call again. Take care, okay?
Thank you, Mike. Bye.
All right. Bob is calling from Sacramento, listening on, now wait a minute, you must be calling from San Francisco. No, where are you calling from, Bob? Where have we got Bob? We don't have Bob. Can we try to get Bob? Let's put Bob on hold. I was going to say he's listening on KQKE, but that's in San Francisco. So I guess we have it wrong here. Victoria is calling from Sacramento, listening on 1240 KSAC. Hey, Victoria.
Hey, is this Victoria you're talking to?
I think so.
Okay, I couldn't hear you at first. Well, I'm really glad you're having this debate, and you're doing a great job. I was just wanting to call you yesterday because I'm so heartbroken by all these Democrats I hear now talking so the way they do about immigration. It wasn't this way, and it's just such a made-up issue, I think. And I know that it's a complex problem, and it's got to be figured out how many people come in and all that, but your callers and emailers have made some really good points about what we do around the world, and we just keep forgetting that. And it's so petty to think, oh, these people are coming into our country and taking this and taking that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't sound like we're good, decent people anymore.
Well, you're hitting it on strictly on the emotional level, which I tend to do too. You know, if somebody wants to get my attention, talk to me emotionally. Show me a picture of a sick child, and you have my attention. Tell me about a sick child, and you may still have my attention. But so you're coming at it from the same place I would. Hold on a second. Let me do this break, Victoria, and we'll come back and chat. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Yeah, yeah. One love. What about the one?
One heart.
What about the
let's get together and feel all right.
I'm pleading to mankind.
No way to delay that trouble coming every day. No way to delay that trouble coming every day.
There's a whole lot of times I wish I could say I'm not white.
10 before the hour, we're talking with Victoria in Sacramento, listening on KSAC. All right, the emotional side of this is kind of where we were going. Go ahead, Victoria.
Well, there's also a lot of facts, you know, like the things I've heard over the years, like the one I just heard today, that Walmart just built a store on some pyramids or something, right next to some pyramids.
Oh, really?
And you hear about chemical companies selling their chemicals to Mexico once they're illegal here.
Uh-huh.
And other companies dumping chemicals just across the border. You know, and so many people in Mexico die of cancer when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Leukemia and cancer. And then what we do all around the world, you hear about how we take 25% of the world's resources, but we only have 6% of the population.
Right.
And so how can we sit there and complain that people are having their children educated in our schools and going to our hospitals?
Yeah.
When they're actually taking care of elderly people and doing all kinds of important stuff.
Yeah, that's you're absolutely right. Corporate America it doesn't give a damn about somebody else's backyard. If there are no rules that say you can't dump poison, they'll dump poison. And if there are rules that say you can't dump poison, they'll still dump it and say it's not poison.
Right.
So it's just you make a very good point. But you can't. Your point is too nuanced, believe it or not, although it's very direct and unnuanced, it's too nuanced for the people who are trying to write legislation that holds up their particular lobbyists, like this thug
right.
We have from Georgia, this Senator Johnny Isaacson, who's trying to get the Home Depot amendment
stuck
in.
Yes, you're
stuck
right.
In
it is hard for legislation to be written over these points. You're right.
It
but
is.
It just hurts me to see the debate so clearly defined in these narrow roads, you know, talking
I know.
They're taking ours.
I know. It's awful. Thanks, Victoria.
Thank you.
Appreciate what you had to say. Yeah, yeah. Taking ours. Mm. Okay, a couple of emails and back to your calls. Mike, little is being said about the immigration bill changing, favoring family status versus skill levels for issuing visas for legal immigrants. This piece of the bill has been pushed by the administration and folks like Microsoft. It means that a whole bunch of companies can get visas for non-American and non-residential professionals and cut their labor costs big time. So instead of paying a software engineer, an American, $80,000 a year, they can get an Indian or Pakistani or whomever for $40,000. This also applies to civil, mechanical, and chemical engineers and nurses and other healthcare professionals, even legal professionals, accountants, and other financial professionals. I would also imagine that the visa be good for one particular company so the worker is stuck with low pay and benefits because they more or less become indentured servants. This, of course, would force Americans to take lower paying jobs. However, given the huge college loans that current students have to pay off, they couldn't afford to take lower paying jobs. Immigrant professionals don't have that problem. So it's the ever-spiraling downward slide of the American middle class. Kathleen in Austin. Yeah, it's just infuriating, isn't it? Just one more thing, huh? One more log on the fire, right? And this is from Brenda. Hi, Mike. You asked for our opinion on immigration. Here's mine. I have a real problem with many of the Mexicans I have come in contact with. I was born and raised in Southern California. At one time, I was offered a great job at the hospital I was born at, and I didn't get it because I didn't speak Spanish. Some of the neighborhoods I grew up in turned into seedy areas as the Mexicans began moving in. I'm a truck driver now and recently had a Mexican driver attempt to park his truck at the truck stop my husband and I were at. He was having a lot of trouble trying to park and eventually hit our truck, plus another truck in front of him. When my husband got out to give him a piece of his mind, we found he didn't speak any English. He was such a bad driver, another driver had to get in and park his truck because he just couldn't do it. When we were outside his truck, we noticed his front tire had a large section of rubber missing. That is cause to shut him down by the Department of Transportation. My point is that if he doesn't speak English, how does he read the signs? How does he communicate with the businesses he delivers to? Why is he driving on tires that could cause a major accident? To me, a good portion of the Mexicans that come here want to make money, but they don't care how they treat this country. They won't learn the language, they won't take care of the places in which they live, and they don't care if their actions cause them harm, cause harm to other innocent people. I was not raised a racist, but through what I've experienced, I've become that way. These are only a few experiences out of many, but I have no sympathy for them. If they want to be here, let them come through the legal way, as our ancestors did. Thank you, Brenda. Well, you don't want to go back too far on the ancestor thing, Brenda. You know, you really don't. Maybe our parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents, but don't go back too far on that ancestor thing. Because I don't think the Iroquois and the Cherokee and the Paiute and the Pawnee and the Navajo had set up points of entry for white people to come in and dragging their black slaves with them. You know what I'm saying. I'm not trying to get snotty with you, Brenda. I'm just saying, you know, we got to be careful, right? The truth would just come up and bite us all in the ass if we're not careful. Pardon my language. Ron is calling from Wellsboro, PA.
Hey, Ron, good evening,
welcome,
Mike.
Welcome to the program. Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in the immigration.
Oh, by the way, I got your bedtime story.
Did you?
Yeah, and I'd love to read it. I may next week. It's like a chapter in a book. I mean, that's the longest email I've gotten.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I'm really kind of long-winded.
It's well-written. It's a very poignant story. Maybe next week I'll do it.
Okay.
All right. Now, what you called for now is immigration.
Yeah. You know, the thing that never, you know, this is one of those issues where I kind of obliquely pay attention to it because, you know, it's so contentious, you know, and I take it from just really like a point of like, you know, well, to use, you know, Hispanic, mano a mano, right? Human right. to human. And it's, people don't seem to talk about maybe like not necessarily peripheral issues, but ideas that could be sort of forcing the immigration thing in a way that's not really spoken about.
Ron, can you hold that thought?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, hold it there. Let me do the break. We'll come back and pick it up on the other side of the break. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. We have devoted probably 95% of the program tonight to this issue of immigration and your take on it. We're going to continue to do that. We are talking with Ron, who is listening via the Internet, called in from Wellsboro, PA. All right, where were we, Ron?
Yeah, Mike, I just wanted to make a couple quick points and not take too much time so the next caller can get on. As far as, like, immigration, people seem to forget that we're at, like, 6.5 billion, 6.6 billion people on the planet. I remember reading something in Sierra Club magazine years ago, something about how 10 billion people wouldn't be sustainable with the way of life we have, that somehow we have to, you know, if we want to survive, we have to develop a, you know, more primitive way of life. But there's the, I think the population pressure plays a lot into this. Plus, you know, America, you know, it always has had sort of like a history, you know, as far as like, you know, immigration, specifically in the eugenics crowd. You know, they always look at people, you know, immigrating as somehow lesser. But there's also, you know, secondly, the pressure of like the trade agreements we have, NAFTA and the WTO, and the whole like downward harmonization standards. Isn't that a nice little euphemism? But
yeah, I love that one.
Basically, what that entails in Mexico is that what I've read is that the average Mexican worker makes $5 a day. That's, you know, a far cry from $5 an hour or whatever the minimum wage is soon to be federally. But I know it's like $7 in Pennsylvania now, but that's because of a state mandate. But also, the thing is that I think what I've heard is that a large majority of people in Mexico were able to live on their subsistence farming, and you know, the importation of bloated agricultural products has pretty much blown them out. So they have to come up over the border to survive. So yeah,
right,
of course,
right.
We're going to grumble at them for doing that. But you know, I do agree with some of the callers with regard to, like, you know, legal immigration. You know, the laws are on the books for a reason. It doesn't mean we should be like, you know, ruthless, you know, mean spirited people just because they happen to be from another culture. But you know, like I think I've heard you say before, we're all immigrants for all intents and purposes, and it, you know, that's kind of like, you know, it does play into a sort of divide and conquer, you know, scenario. You know, Americans are pretty easily roused to, you know, hate somebody if they're different, and it's just, and, you know, there's a lot of angles to it, but I think I can't help but feel like the whole immigration issue is really kind of a diversionary thing. It's a pig in a poke. It's something else. It's not about nationality. It's about people. It's about, I can't help but say it like this, but it's about poor people and sort of rich people, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, so happens that, you know, the people who get affected on this side of the border are the people who are affected on that side of the border, and they get us in a divide-and-conquer scenario. We're at each other's throats.
Right.
You know, that image of people riding around in the border in their trucks. I mean, come on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me just sort of like confused how easily it is that they can set us at each other's throats. I mean, you know, really what I've heard some people say is we need solidarity on both sides of the border. Yeah, we just can't, you know, get off the hook for having trade policies that decimate their way of life. So yeah, I think in some ways we have a responsibility, okay, but they have to do it in their country too.
That's,
you know,
true. Yeah. That's
so
true.
I mean, that's kind of like my point. I just, you know, the thing is, it's such an issue that, you know, you really can't take the bait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the Mexican population's fault. It's the people who are in power who have trade policies that are just like, you know, downwardly harmonizing the whole bloody thing. And I guess that's their term or whatever, the structural readjustment. You know,
that's probably one of the reasons, now that you mention it, that I've just stayed away from the issue. I just don't want to take the bait. I want to see an equitable solution to this. I want to see something that works for everybody. But why get suckered in once more into an issue like this that requires such massive, massive amounts of thought and compassion and economic policy changes and trade agreements and respect for subsistence farmers, for example. And that's not going to happen. You know, Bush can't even understand those terms, much less do something. And the Democratic Party leadership, I truly believe, is only looking at all these new voters for the Democratic Party. So in this issue especially, I say, you know, a pox on both their houses. I wish there were leaders in this country who would acknowledge, and in Mexico, you're right, who would acknowledge that this is a hemispheric, or at least as far where it concerns the United States and Mexico and Central America, it's a semi-hemispheric issue that needs to be addressed on that level, not in, with a bunch of jackasses in Washington or a couple of commentators on CNN or on right-wing talk radio. Hey, listen, I got to leave you there. Ron, thank
Take
you.
Take care, Mike.
I'm glad you called. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Let's hear from Dominic in Japan. Mike, I live in Japan where I usually stream the program. I speak, read, and write Japanese fluently, which always seems to surprise the people here I deal with in my everyday life. Speaking the language of the country you choose to relocate to is a given to me. Many Japanese seem to believe that learned cultural traits such as language ability are somehow something genetic, closely associated with one's racial or ethnic background. However, one of the other reasons why people are surprised when they meet non-native speakers of Japanese is that this country is brimming with Americans, Canadians, British, and other English-speaking Westerners who either cannot learn or refuse to learn Japanese. It seems to me that English speakers, primarily but not exclusively Americans, bitch about immigration, and it often takes the form of complaining about foreigners refusing to speak English or to assimilate. Nevertheless, from what I can see, when it comes time for many Americans to do the assimilating, they categorically refuse to go along with the program. Isn't there a double standard at work here? Well, yeah, of course, absolutely, there's a double standard at work. When we had the people working on our house, Molly, who watches, well, what's that program where they speak Spanish? Dora? Dora the Explorer? Oh, Go Diego Go. There are two programs that are damn near bilingual, and kids being kids, they just pick up. They pick up on a level that you and I have forgotten how to pick up, a dual language. You know, the grooves are not cemented in their brains yet. So Molly would, when they were hammering and beating on our house and driving us crazy for a couple, 3 weeks, Molly would get up in the morning, go out and say, hola, hola, because why? She overheard them. They weren't speaking Spanish. They were speaking Portuguese. But to Molly, it sounded like Spanish. Hola, ¿cómo está? Hola. And, of course, the workers would look at her and just laugh and carry on and slap their knees and just amazed that, you know, some little kid would be standing there saying, hola, ¿cómo está? Hola, which she picks up from her little cartoons on television. Why did I tell that? I have no idea. Oh, about Dominic's letter about learning the language. Yeah. Louisa is calling, listening in San Diego on KLSD. Hi, Louisa.
Hi, Mike. You're great. I've gotten in trouble with my husband in the second call tonight, but I'm calling in as a bona fide immigrant from Ireland, had to jump through hoops, turn myself inside out. I'm the whitest woman you've ever seen.
Right.
And so I'm telling you, it ain't easy, but I became naturalized in 1986. And the first thing I did after, you know, you get the benefit. You're an alien, but you still have to pay taxes. The first thing I did was I went and registered to vote as a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you this nonsense, you know, it just backs up on what you've been saying about, you know, I was white, so therefore I wasn't really a threat, except when it came to the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
The paperwork is just as bad for somebody like me as it would be for anybody else. I mean, it's absolute, it is a racial issue, I know it, and I'm just absolutely disgusted. This is supposed to be a pluralistic society. And the only reason I think, and there was a caller who called earlier who said, you know, this is just a diversion. This whole immigration thing is a total diversion because they don't want to talk about the rot they've brought on us.
Hey, Louisa, do you want to hold on a minute?
I sure will.
All right, let me do a break here. Just hold the thought, and we'll come back and talk. Quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
People's skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late. Before you or 6 or 7 or 8 to hate all the people you're around.
not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour, we're talking with Louisa, who has called in from San Diego. All right. Now, you're an Irish naturalized citizen.
That's right.
What would, I have to ask, this is not probably why you called in, but why would you give up Irish citizenship for America?
I don't have to, you see. I can still keep, and I still have my Irish passport. But I came here on an H-1 visa, believe it or not.
I don't know what that is.
That's the highest priority visa you can get. It's only given to people who can provide a job that nobody in America can do equivalently. I came in as a singer with an English opera company.
Oh, okay.
Right. So you get that high priority thing because they can't find your equivalent in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I had a problem, God, glory be to God, can you imagine what a brown-skinned person goes through if they try to do it legally?
I mean,
it's unbelievable. And, you know, I grew up, I'm from Northern Ireland, you mm-hmm. know, where they've been fighting for...
Sure.
700 years.
Sure.
And so, I mean, you know, this whole thing about, you know, people being different, we all had the same colored skin there.
Uh-huh.
But because our name had an O in front of it.
Right.
We were different.
Right.
So there's no hope. You know, we were talking about the whole, the thing going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. So my only thing is not enough people. I wish, you know, a few more people would call in from the other side, which is why I felt I had to call tonight to give the other perspective. Those of us who come here, I mean, I didn't have to come to America. I just found myself here with a company, mm-hmm. and then I ended up electing to stay here, and I married somebody who wasn't sterling, as we say, and he sort of left me with the, you know, lovely, beautiful child.
Sure.
And then I had to go fight for myself. And yeah. they literally told me, you go back on your own volition and go. And I did. Mm-hmm. I went. And then I came back again
mm-hmm.
because I went to the consulate in London, in Grosvenor Square, to the American consulate. And I swear to you, an American consulate official told me, just lie. Just lie. Just say you're going back for a vacation. You're taking the child in to see her grandparents in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then work on it on the other side. And that's how I did it.
And it was easier doing it that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm saying if there are people out there who are like me, who, you know, want to be proud Americans and are, oh, God, I love this country. I really do. I can't even imagine not living here. But fight. Mm-hmm. Fight. That's what you have to do. If you want to be here and you're not coming in for nefarious reasons, which I certainly didn't, then, you know, be proud and fight.
Do you mind my asking you something vis-a-vis the last comment? Why you said it with such feeling.
Yeah.
God, I love this country. What is it that you love
about
it?
Well, you know, when I came to this country, in 1970. And I was 23 years old. So you're doing your math now, you can tell. But anyway, I just loved the freedom because I came from a society where when you walked out the door and you said your name, my family name was O'Kane, O'Kane.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately pegged you. They put you in a place. And when I came here, I found a country that was, nobody cared. I can't say that today. It's a totally different country. I remember when I came here, Mike, I mean, people talked about they were moonlighting. Do you remember that expression?
Sure, sure.
And people worked and they did whatever they had to do and because they loved the fact that they could have the American dream. And I'm living in this country now and I'm thinking, and I have grandchildren now and I'm thinking, oh, my God, if they could only know how it used to be.
But isn't it true now in Ireland has the second highest standard of living in Europe? Ireland went from being, what was the phrase?
Shuffling the feet.
There you go. And has become one of the leading economies and education centers in Europe.
The Celtic Tiger.
Yeah, the Celtic Tiger, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it to me,
if it had only been that way when I was growing up, because I think when I was growing up, they were still getting over themselves, as we say.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they were still, oh, Lord, I am not worthy. Now, I have to also tell you, I grew up in a very traditional Catholic household.
Uh-huh.
And I have been Jewish for the last 27 years. So there's something to be said.
Louisa, you're one of the most interesting callers I've had in a long time. Listen, I've got a break here.
Call you again. Come to San Diego. We love you.
I hope you'll call back. Thanks.
I will.
Thanks, Louisa. Take care. Take care. I love this business. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Actually, Mike O'Malloy, we dropped the O. Before the hour, from Mark in Reno. Mike, I have a different perspective on the illegal immigration issue. By chance, did you notice when the issue of illegal immigration entered so-called mainstream media? I placed it approximately late 2005. My theory is that it was a Rovian tactic. The Republicans knew they were in trouble for the 2006 elections. Rove used the illegal immigration as another wedge issue. There is nothing more important to Republicans than to hate a different class of people, and this would have gelled the Republican base to vote Republican. The tactic did not work for the elections, but the issue remains because a majority of Americans jumped on this issue for a multitude of reasons, and it struck a chord. Mark in Reno. Yeah, I'm always suspicious when all of a sudden an issue presents itself. I people start screaming at each other. I always wonder, like Mark, obviously, gee, where did that come from? And why is it an issue on Monday, but it wasn't last Friday? How did it become an issue so quickly? What? This is from Lou in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Mike, unless you know the parentage of a person, I question anybody's ability to call another person illegal. Granted, the people who came across our borders have committed an unlawful act, a misdemeanor. The employers have committed a felony punishable by a $10,000 fine, plus a fine for each violation. Who are the actual illegals? Incidentally, for those who don't know, unlawful means against the law. Illegal is a sick bird. Okay. And this is from Kathleen. She's referencing the email I read from Brenda, the woman who wrote about the truck driver. Kathleen writes, Hi, Mike. I had to write after hearing what Brenda had to say. I am really so sorry to hear this kind of attitude sneaking its way into the consciousness of, quote, our, end quote, people, whom I consider to be generally kind and generous types who adhere to certain principles like liberty, justice, equality, kindness, openness, and most of all, compassion. I have compassion for the man she was describing, the truck driver that couldn't park, because I've walked in his shoes, and Brenda needs to realize that people do what they have to do, often to keep food on the table. Everyone's circumstances are different. I won't go into the drama of it all, but I would like to say that these kinds of attitudes are just the kind that the right thrives on. It keeps all of us separated from one another. Yes, I'm a person who has lost work because the Mexicans in my neighborhood were willing to work for less money than me. I was tempted to get a resentment, but why bother? And yet this situation is perpetrated upon us by others who have a great deal of money and power, and guess what? They want to keep it that way. We cannot give in to this power grab and these kinds of stupid ideas that keep all of us separate, but rather everyday heroes who wouldn't dream of doing the kinds of things that the ruling class does on a daily basis to keep us all in our place. Brenda, don't be a racist. Think long and hard about this and get into his shoes. We cannot give in to this, my friends. Kathleen. Yeah, I understand that. I hate to be pushed into something by political prostitutes, no offense to sex workers, whose sole purpose is to make me angry at someone else, you know, unless it's a Republican. If somebody wants to make me angry, of course, I'm already angry at Republicans, all Republicans, but you know what I'm saying. Back to your phone calls. John is calling from Santa Clara, California, listening on the Quake 960 in San Francisco. Hey, John.
Good evening, Michael. From deep in the belly of the whale in, yes, Santa Clara, the different perspective than some of the other folks have called around the state, right in the middle of the Silicon Valley.
Okay.
And, the perspective from here, I'm just a messenger, as Craig Crawford says, don't kill me, but, you know, there was a great post on one of your favorite websites, Daily Kos, you know, the guy, K-O-S,
yes.
Must-see video he turned out on the 18th about how not to hire an American. It's a law firm called Cohen and Grigsby. I don't want to give them any free press, but they do have offices in Florida, not in this state, but in Naples and Pittsburgh and Bonita Springs. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they are giving a seminar, and it's on YouTube, too, by the way, how not to hire. In other words, if you're applying for IT jobs out here, which I do all the time, I'm in need of one. There are phony jobs in this Sacramento Bee, and this is how they circumvent the law. That in other ways, you really need to watch this video. There are ways that they can do that, and you know, I would just say also to counter some of the comment about that. That's a really you know, these are not jobs that people don't want. By the way, these are very high skill paying jobs.
Right.
High-paying job, high-skilled, and these, believe me, these are jobs that yours truly would enjoy having at the moment, and many other folks here in the Valley. So I can only speak for myself, but and steer your listeners, who are really a very astute and eclectic group, by the way, very impressed with some of the calls tonight. Myself just sitting here listening to it, been reeling from some of it. But, you know, the Statue of Liberty inscription you cited is a Lazarus. It's a poem, you know. It's not the law of the land, and this issue, I think, cuts across the party line. It's really a very, very serious issue, and I would just say that other countries deal with it too. In Western Europe, it's not just America. They have Turks in Germany. I remember when I was a college student in the University of Freiburg. You know, the Turks had they were scorned, and you know, so everybody goes through a lot of this stuff. It's not just the United States. I think it's unfair to Canada is wrestling with it in Toronto. You talk to people in Toronto or the bigger cities in Canada. They're not on the welcome wagon in Vancouver and Toronto. And, you know, I think, you know, there's other ways of looking at this. I would just tell the Democratic Party, as far as politically, if that's what we're talking about here, the politics of it, unlikely source, Perot, Buchanan, Nader, all expounding economic nationalism versus the racist part, you know, that we do need an element of some economic nationalism here. I mean, isn't that what unions are about? You know, and
tariffs. Yes, absolutely.
Know. Yeah, I mean, you just can't throw the doors wide open and go, hey, you got, I think Howard Stern, of all people, called it America like a jobs program with a flag, you know. Exactly. I mean, if you watch Michael Moore's movie a week from today, it's going to be opening his new one. You know, like you come to America, you almost got to with that person from Ireland. Like, why'd you come to America? I mean, like, I don't have health care, so maybe I should go to another country seeking a better life myself.
Like Ireland.
Like Ireland, or Michael's going to be pointing out, you know, the benefits of England or France in his movie, actually. But,
right.
Specifically, in about a week from today, it's going to take the world by storm, and then we're going to be having that debate for quite a while.
And that's a welcome debate, because I'm so sick of the debate being controlled by the pharmaceutical medical industrial complex. I can't wait for Michael's movie to come out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be a big, it's going to embroil the country. And
it is.
And a lot of stuff. But, you know, your last caller, I think, hit it right. It's not about parties or it's about monopolistic, and that's what Michael Moore's thesis is, you know, get these guys, shut them down. And the Kuciniches of the world want the profit out of something this serious. And that will be the thesis statement, I think, of his
of
his film.
I think so. John, thank you. I appreciate everything you had to say. Thanks for checking in tonight.
Anytime. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. And in listening to John, it occurred to me that a couple hours ago, I referenced the inscription on the Statue of Liberty, send me your poor, your tired, your huddled masses yearning to be free, and attributed that to Emma Goldman rather than, as John correctly stated it, Emma Lazarus. Mea culpa. Emma Goldman was an anarchist who had a strong influence on anarchist political philosophy in this country. Emma Lazarus was the woman who wrote the poem that contained the inscription that's now on the Statue of Liberty. Thanks, John. Oh, God. I just never fail to hideously embarrass myself at least once or twice a week. Back to your phone call, Scott, who is listening via Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, my pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Listen, you know, there's not going to be a real easy solution to the immigration problem. And it's not just the Mexicans. We've got immigration from all other countries. But it's mainly the illegals that come from Mexico that I have a serious problem with. And the United States government can only charge them with a misdemeanor and send them back to their country.
Tell me why you have a serious problem.
Communication is the number one key problem that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, they're here illegally taking our jobs, using our government subsidies to further themselves. They're having children here.
Well, let me just ask, are they taking our jobs?
I believe they are. You know, there are jobs that they're going to do that many Americans would never do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, during slavery, the black people did it. And, you know, the influx of Mexicans into, like, California, Arizona, Florida, you know, that do the picking jobs. Yeah, they're going to do harder labor than we do. But my problem is the influx of the Mexicans that have come here and, you know, have ruined neighborhoods, have come in and used, you know, our resources to get help.
All right. So it's a cultural slash racial thing. Canadians who or Germans who come to this country illegally, if there is such a creature, you don't have any problem with them because they don't ruin the neighborhoods, right?
No, I have a problem with all immigrants. They're coming in and they're, you know, I just have a big problem with it. I think the biggest solution that we should do is ship them all back and let them, if they want to come back into the United States,
all right,
come through legally.
All right, Scott, I got to leave it there. Thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone.
Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston.
All right, there you go.
New York to LA. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
yeah!
Man who died, who gave that right to
That
I feel like nominating that as the new national anthem. Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. Really? Wait till you hear what we're going to talk about Monday. Huh? The U.S. Northern Command, which is the military command responsible for so-called homeland defense, has asked the Pentagon if it can establish its own special operations command for domestic missions. Uh-oh. Thanks to our chief engineer, Ian Huff, who assisted in producing the program tonight, as always, from our flagship station in Phoenix, KPHX. He also answered your calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Ben Birch was tonight's moderator at the NovaMradio.com chat room until Billy Foster sobered up and took over. And thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com, who run the message board there. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Let's go back to your phone call. Sandra, who is listening via the Internet in Sacramento. Why not on the radio, Sandra?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I just go to a different site. So I don't know. I like to go to the Nova.
We're on KSAC.
Yeah, I know. I listen to that station all the time. I was, like, bowled over when they got you back on. But anyway, Mike, listen, I can't believe I'm talking to you. But you know what?
What?
Don't take offense, but I swear to God, the only reason why I listen to your show is because of the way you be schooling white folks. I'm like, is this a white man? You know what I mean? You kill me. And it's just like I was lulled into, you know, listening to the callers thinking, wow, these callers are saying some great things. Then I was brought back to reality by that last caller. That's what I'm talking about. These white folks be tripping. And the immigration, that's the whole thing. They can't separate when it's bigger issues. It's always about them and the other and how it's going to impact their position here. And I'm just sort of sick to death that white people can't seem to get beyond it and see the bigger picture. But I have to say, you know, to hear you break it down sometimes, I'm just blown away. I'm like, wow, I guess there are a few white people who can kind of see the white privilege connection there. But another reason why I called, early on you talked about the African-American thing. Mm-hmm. You know what? I find that I hate it. It's childish. Oppressed people are in love with symbols. I prefer black because my great-grandmother was a slave. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, I live in a suburb. An exurb is the more proper term because I don't live in a suburb. An exurb of Atlanta. And in order for me to get to Atlanta, I have to go through a little town called Clarkston, Georgia, which has absorbed a tremendous amount of so-called third-world refugees, a lot of whom are from various countries in Africa. And when I stop there, sometimes Kathy and I will stop there to shop at little markets and so on and so forth, because you can get some really different kind of products when you go into these little greengrocers, these little stores that are set up by immigrants. But there are some true Africans who are from the continent of Africa who have set up shop. There's some Somalis, some Ethiopians, some Nigerians, some Kenyans. And when I come in contact with those folks, and then I come in contact with folks who may have an African parentage, like I have an Italian parentage, and I think to myself, why in God's name do we call people in this country African American? In the first place, it's a continent. It's not a country.
No, and also
somebody from Egypt is an African American.
It's a disconnect, I think, like Kwanzaa and some other sort of BS that's sort of put upon us to make us feel, I don't know, American. Yeah. But I'm cool. I'm American. My folks have been here for 300 years. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't call myself Italian American, even though my grandfather came over here from Italy. I don't call myself Irish American, even though my great grandfather on that side of the family came over from Ireland. I just call myself an American. And sometimes I don't say that because I get too ashamed.
Well, that's what I mean. And it's sort of like, let's just be real about it. I mean, the black term is connected to the struggle. Can I use that word?
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Well, sure.
And it's just sort of like, I don't know, I just find it really, you know, just kind of demeaning. So.
I hear you.
But,
Sandra,
but anyway,
I
love your show. And
thanks, Sandra. We're out of time. We got to go, but thank you, Sandra. I hope you call in again. Take care. Take care.
All right, bye.
Take care. All right. Thanks to everybody for participating tonight and all this week, however you did that. I'll see you Monday night, okay? Take care. Seriously, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. I'm going.